So now on the Innovation Show, we welcome Alex Gachard, CEO and founder of Caramigo. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you.
You have some recent good news, which is your partnerships. Before we go into that, let's talk about you and your history as an entrepreneur.
Okay, so it's actually my fourth company, because when I was in Paris, I did launch in the early 90s a company about corporate gifts, but it was very boring, so I went to do an MBA, and then after the MBA, I went to work for a big company, which was Philips, and they sent me to the Netherlands and then to Austria, and then I came to Belgium, where I launched a company in the area of directory inquiries, a bit like the 11850 in Ireland. Recently, I launched a company in the area of data quality. Even more recently, we launched Caramigo, which is a peer-to-peer car rental company, which started just over a year and a half ago in Belgium to start with, and more recently in Bulgaria. And since yesterday, the 30th of November, we launched in Portugal.
What's the concept behind Caramigo? Because I know it's working towards a world of driverless cars and mobility, but what's the differentiator with Caramigo?
Okay, so it's the press coins us as the Airbnb for cars, because the business model is very much like Airbnb. You have, I think, 1.8 million cars in Ireland. Most of them are unused 95% of the time, because they're staying idle somewhere in the streets of Dublin or Cork. And that's pretty much the same everywhere in Europe. Cars are just not used. The thing is, when you don't use your drilling machine, it's no big deal, because it costs you like 100 euros to buy. When you don't use a good which you have bought or which costs you on average 5,000 euros a year, it's pretty dumb, because it's a very expensive good, but still you don't use it. So the idea behind Caramigo is to better use things that you own, and in that case, your car, by renting out to others. And of course, we don't just do that. We add a certain number of layers of security, two of which are the comprehensive insurance, which covers the car during the entire rental. And the second one is a 24/7 roadside assistance, which is also covering the car during the entire rental. The insurance is there to reassure both the renter, but a bit more specifically the owner. The roadside assistance is there to reassure the renter that if anything happens during the rental, it will be covered, they will be helped by the equivalent of the AA in the given countries. So it's very secure. We, of course, also verify the entire details of each of the renters, and we're talking about the driving license, ID, address, phone number, and everything. And in the case of Belgium, we even went as far as making a deal with the fiscal authorities, because I don't know if you know, but often the collaborative economy or peer-to-peer economy is seen not always in a good way by the government or the taxes, because sometimes people avoid paying taxes. So we thought that we should do the opposite and try to get a deal with the FISC, by which we can give a certainty to the FISC that people will pay their taxes, and we can give a certainty to the car owners that they will be taxed at a minimum level. So that's what we did in Belgium.
That's great, because you've really thought of every element of the ecosystem. You talked about the insurance. You've thought about the concerns for me. If it was me going to rent out the car, I'm kind of going, okay, well, every day I drive to work, I get in early because I want to beat traffic, but then it sits in a car park until 6 p.m. And you're making that work for me, and maybe pay for a holiday in a year or whatever I wanted to.
Exactly. But,
yeah.
Because with 5,000 euros, you can do many things. You could buy an iPhone and a couple of cool, TV and equipments. You can go to Spain. You can go skiing. And we're not, of course, against car ownership. We're just saying, in some cases, there are so many other ways to get from point A to point B every day that you don't need a car. And however, from time to time, you do need a car. You need to go and see some relatives in I don't know, in in Sligo or go for away for a weekend. In that case, it's easier if you have a car. But to go from Dublin to Dublin every morning, well, in most cases, you can use Dart, you can use the buses, you can use GoCar. So you don't need a car every day. And in that case, you can use different means of transportation according to the time of the day or the day of the week. And coming to specifically GoCar and Dublin, we recently made a deal with Zipcar because we see that we're really not competing with these kind of companies. We're really more complementary because people use Zipcar or GoCar typically half an hour, 45 minutes, and then they don't use the car anymore. And in our case, people use CarAmigo a bit longer. We're talking about 2 days, 2 days and a half. So it's very complementary.
Yeah.
It's not really competing.
And hence the partnership with Zipcar you've just announced.
Yeah, so the Zipcar is typically very, very short-term rentals or car sharing. So yeah, I think in their case, it's even shorter than 30 minutes on average. And you have customers of Zipcar who would like to rent a car a bit longer, you know, to go away for a weekend, for instance. In that case, Zipcar is not the solution. And on the contrary, you have CarAmigo renters who would like, for a specific occasion, to just use a car half an hour. And in that case, yeah, a car owner is not going to be interested in giving out the keys of his car just to earn pro rata, you know, €1 or €2. So so in that case, we would send those customers to Zipcar and vice versa. So that's why it's a very, you know, it's a partnership which makes sense.
Yeah, it's very complimentary. And Alex, so an ideal user would be, for example, I'm going on a holiday with my family, and I'd say to myself, okay, well, I'm actually gonna get a taxi with the family to the airport and leave the car to be available for CarAmigo. Yeah. And that car is gonna actually work and pay for a portion of my holiday then, and I'll have better experiences in my holiday.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's the kind of real concept behind it.
Well, you've got, let's say, four different types of users. You've got the urbans, people who work and live in a city and who can use many means of transportation to go to work or university or whatever every day. That's what we call the urbans. The second one is the tourist, incoming tourists in Ireland. I can't remember the exact figure about the number of tourists coming in Ireland, but it's huge. So these people travel. I mean, the railway network in Ireland is, for instance, not as good as it could be in other countries such as France. So it's more handy to have a car to visit some places in Ireland. The third one is the one you just said. People are going out on holidays somewhere, and the car stays idle either at the airport or you know, at their home. And the fourth one is something we're going to launch in Bulgaria soon. We will call it Test Amigo. It's specifically geared towards people who want to sell their car, and they get phone calls of people saying, "I'd like to, you know, I'd be interested in buying it, but first I'd like to test it." And
very good.
99% of the time, people say, "You know, I don't know you. I don't even know if you have a driving license. But you know what? Put yourself, you know, register on CarAmigo." And then you can test my car for as long as you want. You even pay for it. But the idea is not really in that case to do a car rental. It's more to facilitate the sale of the car.
I love that. That's try before you buy. You've really tapped into some fundamental shifts in people's mindsets where we're moving towards a sharing economy. People are looking for more money to spend on experiences in the world. Because you see this with Airbnb, for example, that people are going, okay, I want to go to Paris. I want to actually really experience Paris, and I don't want to have to spend all my money on a hotel. Therefore, I'll stay in an apartment. So it's making the world more accessible for people. You're tapping into that mindset shift.
Yes, it's pretty much the whole thing around the sharing economy. Many people, I mean, if I told you 10 years ago, you know, one day you'll be renting out your car or you'll be renting out your house, you know, you would have said it's impossible. I will never do it. In 2016, people do it. And when it comes to cars, we made also a partnership with Ford about a year ago, and Ford released recently a report which says that 55% of Europeans are interested in renting out their own car.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they're going to do it tomorrow. It says, I'm interested. How does it work? How does it work with insurance? And that's precisely what we try to do by reassuring these people that there's an insurance, there's a roadside assistance. So if you get those people to understand that it can be safe and secure and they can earn money, then it's not 55. I mean, this 55% would translate into effectively maybe 10 or 15 or 20% of the people doing it.
The key thing, Alex, you've tapped is your partnership with the insurance.
Yes, it's key.
That is absolutely key, because the first thing people are going to worry about is, what's it going to mean to my car? Or they're going to mess up my car. But I'm sure you've catered for every eventuality.
Yeah, even for embezzlement, which is the almost impossible, to be honest, but still the case by which the renter steals your car. It's hardly possible. I'll tell you why. Because before this person actually takes the keys of your car, he or she would have gone through the entire verification. It's hardly possible. However, we don't have the time to explain that to car owners. So that's why we added this clause of embezzlement by which the insurance guarantees that they would pay for the replacement of the car up to a certain value, even in the case where the renter has stolen the car. And the insurance is absolutely key, which means that if we don't have an insurance, we don't launch in a country. So we launched yesterday in Portugal with the second biggest insurance company. And why it's important that it's not just an insurance, but a big and well-known insurance, is precisely for the reassuring factor, so that most Portuguese will hopefully say, "Oh, okay, it's Tranquilidade, which is the insurance company. It's a well-known and good insurance company. I feel secure. I will put my car in Caramigo."
Yeah.
And in Ireland, the market is not as there are not as many companies. It's not a fragmented market as much as some other countries. I think there's like a little less than 10 different insurance companies in Ireland. But if we did go to the Irish market, we would need to partner with one of the big guys to make sure that people feel reassured.
Where do you see it going? I mean, we talked before the show about driverless cars, mobility, but it's all about making the asset work harder for you when you're not using it.
Yes, the whole hysteria about the driverless cars is, there's between now and reality, there's a few years to come. So it's going to happen. I just don't know when and also to which extent. So I think it's complementary to, car sharing. And you can even have some of those cars in car sharing. So there's a whole trend towards a different mobility. And it can have different aspects. It can have, it can be car sharing, it can be peer-to-peer car sharing, it can be, people using the electric cars more than they do now. So there are many areas where things are going to change when it comes to mobility. That's why, actually, not only the insurance world, but also the automobile world, such as the car manufacturers or leasers or are also looking at this in a different way, and they would be much more open now than they were a couple of years ago, where for them, a bit like Kodak in the 90s, there was just one way of doing business. It's making cars, and that's it. Or in the case of an insurance, one car is one person is one contract. Well, things are changing, and they're looking at it in a different way now, because they see that some people are demanding a different. Yeah, different. They want to work and they want to use cars on a usage basis and no longer only on possession basis.
Yeah, and it's absolutely, because we had Andrew Pinnington, the CEO of Halo, on last week. They're partially owned by Daimler Benz, and all the car companies are, in fairness to them, are thinking about the future when people aren't owning cars as much, and how do we make up for the revenues we've been making for years in that world. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's indeed a trend because you see a couple of car companies such as BMW or you just mentioned Mercedes-Benz going into traditional car sharing. When I say traditional, I mean car sharing by which a company owns a fleet of cars and these cars are rented out, so, such as GoCar. You also have companies such as Peugeot going into peer-to-peer car rental because it just invested 18 million into a peer of CarMigo in France. You see companies going into ride sharing. So yeah, it's really changing fast because they realize that if in the future people buy less cars, either it's a given and that's the way it is, or maybe they will manufacture less cars, but they will earn money in a different system, such as peer-to-peer car rental or car sharing.
Yeah.
So they're not all of them are moving in this direction, but you know, it would be foolish to not even consider it. And again, you can think about the Kodak story in the 90s, whereby Kodak just disregarded the digital cameras and thought it would never pick up. But it just picked up that much that traditional cameras don't exist anymore.
You're really ahead of the curve, and you're to the Wayne Gretzky quote, you're skating to where the puck is going, not where it is today. So, Alex,
hopefully.
Great, yeah, well, you are, man. It's great to talk to you, and we wish you the very best of luck. Alex Gachard, CEO and founder of CarAmigo, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot.